speaks to you. His chosen ones, the gun is good. Go forth and kill.
Who came here in the stone head?
I don't know.
It is the only path and passage into the vortex. You will show me how you come to be here. Tell me everything.
My name is Zed. For Zandas, I am an exterminator.
Caution, you are approaching the
ring. Look into the ring.
Took a woman in his name. Zardos.
Staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
We have control of the airwaves.
We have control. The system is in control. And the vertical. Attention all systems of the Solar Space Federation. Attention all systems of the Solar Space Federation. We have assumed control. We have assumed control. We have assumed control.
Welcome back, friends and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, which happens on your internet radio dial every Saturday night. You can find us on Saturday night, or every time I blow that, but it's facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show, or you can get us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast
repository. And tell your friends to tell their friends and tell their friends and tell their friends and tell their friends.
Two friends.
Tell at least two friends.
At least. And you can write to us at facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. I'm your host, Colin. I'm surrounded by the diminishing internet radio superstars.
Brent.
Travis.
Are we diminishing because we're...
Our popularity or the...
There's just
the,
three of us tonight.
Oh, the number of podcasters that we have.
Right, yeah. At one point, there were five.
Let's say, we now don't have popularity.
The core three.
That
and our mortal skin is diminishing, right?
Oh, that's true. We are getting older.
My mortal skin.
And our brains are rotting because we're watching all these interesting movies. So tonight was my movie pick, and in my travels to the farthest reaches of weirdo movie space, I discovered a movie called Zardoz.
Oh my god.
From the year 1974, directed by John
Borman. And that's
Borman.
Where it should have stayed.
Oh, that's not true. Actually, it's one of the greatest, craziest science fiction movies of all time. That may or may not be true, but you're going to have to listen to find
forehead, out. That deserved a forehead slap.
So John Borman He directed the horror movie. He famously made Ned Beatty squeal like a pig in Deliverance prior to this.
Crazy.
And I think he was riding at the peak of his, hey, what do you want to do next? And the 70s is this magical time, right, where, like...
Well, the guy made Deliverance. I'm sure the studios were like, whatever you want to do, Goodman. What was his name? John Goodman?
John Goodman?
Borman.
Borman. Whatever, Borman.
Yeah, but how does that work? I mean, that's awesome that happens, that somebody's like, well, I guess it's still happening.
They Wachowskis have
the Jupiter Rising out now, and that looks like, oh, whatever you want to do, you're the Wachowskis.
Yeah, and what have they done? What? Okay, they did Matrix, they did Speed Racer, they did...
Cloud Atlas.
But that was another one where it was kind of like... All right, we don't know if this thing's going to make any money. Just go indulge your artistic creativity.
You guys got Matrix money. They say the makers of the Matrix and cha-ching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go and see it, so they must have thought this Borman guy was pretty good for that. They're like, dude.
Yeah, because he wrote, directed, and produced this movie. Now, trivia. Burt Reynolds was originally supposed to be in this movie, but
holy shit.
I could see that.
I wonder why he turned it down.
He dropped out.
No way.
How you're saying how?
He's a lucky
man. The stash, the weird
Sean Connery
red outfit.
How much can you look like Burt Reynolds? Enough?
Enough.
I'm a goddamn actor. I can look exactly like
Do you think that was his own stash?
I think so.
Okay. So he had like a handlebar.
I think he's always done his own stash work.
He strikes me as the type of guy that has to shave like two or three times a day.
It's easier to do a movie with it on than off.
Oh, man.
So, Zardoz. Yeah. One of the fucking craziest sci-fi movies. I don't even know if we can call it sci-fi.
It's science fiction, right?
Well, the graphics does say that it takes place in the year 2293, right?
Yep.
How do we tell this is because they paint the buildings blue, the brown like wooden cart the horse still pushes is painted blue, so blue is the color of the future.
Yeah, but they have force fields.
We have like plastic bubble, like we are assuming they're force fields because
it could just be plastic bags.
This movie plays with dimensions on a weird level. That's like, is that a special effect or is that supposed to be a plastic bubble?
It was 1974. We're talking outside, like before this you had Planet of the Apes in 2001, I think was, you know, maybe Star Trek on TV.
Yeah, but 2001, it's a pretty big leap, yo.
Well, yeah. But that was trying to be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie's got some other stuff on its mind. It starts with a disembodied head. And the only other time I've seen that was House on Haunted Hill, where was it Elijah Cook? His head, like, floats up out of the black.
The original House on Haunted Hill?
But, yeah, it's this guy who introduces himself as Zardoz and talks like he is, you know, reciting something from a Shakespeare play.
The painted pencil thin mustache.
Well, you gotta have that.
You have to.
Yeah.
Clearly. All gods.
And
have
the
that.
Painted on.
That's like the first step of the production value of this movie is the painted on mustache and goatee of Zardoz. Painted on. And it's just a floating head. And it's not even like. Okay, a floating head as in. You could tell it's like a black box.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't even, like, cut the net. I mean, there's just, like, a straight across black, like.
They just cropped it.
And it's just, like, floating all around the screen, just talking about how, like, I once was, like, perceived as a god. And
he says, I'm a false god.
Yeah, he's a false
and
god.
And I'm going to tell you the story, but it'll come true in the telling, or, you know, it takes place far from now with events that could have not happened. And then it ends with a line about, is God in show business too? And then he drops off the screen, and we're treated to another floating head.
A floating spaceship head.
Floating rock-like fixture.
Okay, so now I have to say, when I first heard about that fucking animated movie, whatever it is, with the cat that turns into an airplane. What is it?
Oh, yeah, the Rabbit Bus.
Oh, the Cat Bus. No, it's Cat Bus and the... Yeah, Rabbit that turns into... What are we talking?
I know the Cat Bus is like My Neighbor Totoro or something.
This is something else.
So you're talking about...
Well, anyway, a friend of mine was telling me
you're talking about
it.
Something Miyazaki, right? Yeah, something probably. From Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like the goofiest thing that I ever heard. Of course, that was wrong on my part because I got slammed immediately because it's one of the greatest works of art. Okay. This, if you describe this movie, which we're going to try and do, listener, but
oh man,
let's just say that it involves early on a giant rock floating head spaceship that appears, lands in front of these guys who are all dressed in, you know, similarly like Sean Connery in one of the greatest movie costumes.
Oh, it's a fucking red diaper.
Yeah, he's wearing a red diaper with a bandolier.
Yeah, right? Two red bandoliers that are crossed.
And thigh-high boots and a giant ponytail and a gigantic 70s handlebar stash.
Yes.
They're wearing like red helmets that look exactly like the floating rack head.
And the floating statue tells them that the gun is good, but the penis is evil.
Yeah, the penis spreads the seed.
And the gun shoots the bullet that kills the what, and then it vomits up bullet or guns and ammo, literally onto the floor.
And just a shit ton of guns and ammo,
which are picked up by these guys. We find out are the Brutals. That Sean Connery belongs to. It's some kind of
clan. Well, they're the executioners or whatever the hell. They're like sent out into the outlands to just murder people.
Now, the way that I see this, because I was looking at it, you know, I've seen this is the second time I've seen this movie, but I was looking at it, I'm like, sure. Oh, yeah, all the people that they're killing are like wearing suits and stuff, or, you know, rather contemporary clothing. I'm like, oh, that's us. They're killing like the last remnants of the people who survived whatever this apocalypse was.
Well, they're the people that still want to have a civilization, and they actually want to procreate and have families, I believe. Anyhow,
they represent true nature. They represent out in the wild doing what it does. Whereas we learn that Zardoz, who is the name of the god in the floating head, which is really just like a dude in the floating head,
Arthur Frayne.
Well, they come from a place called the Vortex, and the Vortex is like this fucking like
hippie commune.
It's a place that's really going to exist one day.
I think it already does.
Oh, they're building it right now. That's for damn sure. Where all the rich people and the best scientists got together, and they're like, "Fuck the world! We're gonna like seclude ourselves off, and we're gonna." You know, decide how to make the better society. We're going to get rid of procreation as we know it. We're going to get rid of...
that's a side effect, though. They don't do that on purpose.
No, I think that is on purpose. It's the whole idea of, like, getting the best human they can out of, you know, using the DNA structure and all that jazz.
Yeah, they grow new ones, you know, of themselves, I guess, because they've somehow achieved immortality through technology. Yeah. At some point in the future, I guess, our future, their past, they figure out a way to, you know, manipulate the human genome and create immortality. So these are, I guess, they're born into it, right? Yeah. They're born into a state of immortality, and then they exist in this vortex, which there's no way to get to it, apparently, from the outside world, because there's an invisible force field. So.
There's a force field.
Which keeps them from the Brutals and the outside.
Which doesn't explain why they can't find it. They just can't get in there. Because at the beginning, it makes it sound like the fucking head is some magical transport into the vortex. Where you're like, what the fuck is it? Like heaven or something?
Right.
But no, it's just, you know, no, it's just this little community behind an invisible force field wall.
This isn't the only vortex, right?
No, this is vortex 4.
This is 4. There's
There are other vortexes.
Yeah. And there's a artificial intelligence that controls all of the technology. I mean, we never see computers or anything. It's all they've got.
Well,
like
there's that ring
with a crystal on it that projects.
It's basically an iPhone, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You can ask it. It's not Siri, but you can ask it, like, you know, what's happening with this? What is the definition of this? It's a flower. What's its use? Decoration.
Decorative. Now, motherfucking bees make honey. Shit. Oh, stupid computer.
So before we get too far, because I don't know if I fully understood, and maybe I did, but so the floating rock head is within its walls. There's people in plastic bags that seem to be like in a comatose state, right?
Right,
naked.
Yeah,
are these are people
freeze dried people?
Because the rock promises that if you kill for
Zardoz,
then you'll be rewarded with eternal life.
You can go to the vortex.
You go to the, yeah.
So I don't know if that was just like a heaven story that he's delivering to
Well, that's what
you get the idea that the executioners are people that lived amongst the Outlanders. He just convinced them, like, "Hey, I'm a god."
Well, later on in
kill
the film,
for me, and like, don't breed, and And then he like created a stupid people.
So that's probably the truth, right? I mean, he's telling them these lies so that they'll kill for him. But then, who are these people?
Yeah, I don't actually
on
know.
On the spaceship.
Are they?
They don't explain that.
Well, the only thing, the only consistent thing that, like, and I could be reaching here, but, and I don't know why he would have them on the spaceship, but they're in the same kind of bubble wrap that, that like the newborn. Okay, so what, how do I explain
this? Well, no,
because
the newborns aren't like in a bubble wrap. They're like, you're supposed to assume it's like a big water tank, but it looks very like what?
Yeah. Well, the technology that they have at this in the vortex is they've got the DNA and apparently memories and all this other stuff of every person who lives in the vortex, all the Eternals coded on it. It's called the Tabernacle, is where this is stored. And whenever one of them dies, regrows
it's a diamond.
Another one. Yeah,
it's
a piece of diamond. All their memories exist in light form, yo.
Right, holy this is shit. Making the movie sound even more crazy. When, I mean, like, if you haven't seen,
sound cool. If you haven't like looked at any image of the movie, like,
well, you got to see the image of Sean Connery in the costume.
God.
But I mean, early on, you don't know what the tabernacle is.
What the fuck? That's the thought. Everything we just explained is not explained until a good hour into the movie. It's
because it has a story to tell you.
Yeah,
it's telling you a story over the course of the running time of the movie.
That is not a story.
It keeps it interesting because you're always getting new information. It doesn't like front load everything so you know everything and then set up like the third act where like then all the action happens.
But it's one of those movies where it's
just like revelations happening in the third act.
But it's one of those movies where it's like they have no story to tell here. We should have just watched the movie that they're telling us about throughout this whole movie. Like, there's the movie. The movie is what they're telling you. It's like, well, there's the story. Your movie is about a guy in fucking red diapers running around and people telling the story to him. You know, and then, but I mean, the actual story is supposed to be since he was a brutal and he was out in the wild and he, like, even though they're not supposed to breed, he was some, because he, like, I guess what I'm assuming is he killed the most people?
He was the chosen one.
He said his family was chose to breed.
Yeah.
He was
by
born.
By Zardoz.
And maybe that's because, well, that's because, I don't know, he just decided. Zardoz, this is Zardoz's weird experiment, right? This movie is all fucking eugenics, right? This is all society,
There's more going on than that, I think, too. There's a couple themes. It makes a great case for atheism. You kill your god and it liberates the human condition.
Yeah, but then Sean Connery actually makes a cool quote after that, though. We'll get to that later, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they kind of answer it with almost an anti, because the Vortex are the atheist society, where Zardoz is like, you know, he believes in something of a godhead, but, you know, even though his is like, he figures out this thing's destroyed in front of him, but he understands how something in the universe designed you, even though you're thinking about how, like, okay, fuck it, Zardoz is all like, oh, I designed it that way, so you can, you know, I designed the idea that you would breed in the wild and mutate to become a better person and somehow get into the vortex. I helped you get into the vortex that way. You can manipulate our way of thinking. And he's like, yes, but something designed you that way. So he still has like there's still like
I spoke with the source, or I saw into the source that designed you.
He
I can't
the,
do
the
Sean
say the
Connery
source of all truth or something like that? The source of all truth?
Just the source or whatever.
The source of all truth.
And that gave Zardoz some pause. But yeah, the idea being that Zardoz has manipulated the gene lines to produce, over time, to produce Sean Connery's character, Zed, so that he will infiltrate the vortex. Unbeknownst to, you know, I mean, like, this is a plan known only to Zardoz.
Yeah, because Zardoz
to
even
bring down the vortex, because they've become, I mean, in their, like, what would you call it? Like,
they're kind of complacent.
Yeah.
In their immortality, there's a group of people that are
stagnant.
Called the apathetic, or the, where they just get so uninterested, they quit moving.
Yeah, at
and
one
you
point,
can, like, move their limbs for them, and they'll just stay where they're at because they don't give a shit.
Sean Connery tries to have his way with one of the girls. I think because, like, he's used to raping people, you know, left and right out in the outlands or whatever.
Yeah.
The fact that she just kind of is a rag doll.
This sucks!
And he just tosses her. Tosses her. That was a great scene. Whips her into a bag of... A bag of hay?
Yeah,
a pile of hay.
Was that a real person that they tossed?
Yeah. It was a good toss. I was like, yeah. Sean Connery is pretty... You know, Sean Connery is a bodybuilder. He was an Australian bodybuilder before he got into a...
Is he from Scotland?
Well, but I think he was... I'm pretty goddamn sure I read that he was an Australian bodybuilder.
Is he a boxer, maybe, or something? I don't know. I'm
not sure I remember. It was something.
Anyway, should have brought it up then. So,
But yeah, the...
But yeah, you know, once again, here's another like, anti-eugenics, like, sci-fi theme, right? That, like... In our building of the perfect society, we didn't see the how, like, we would still, like, fail and our, like, man needs the uncontrolled element for life to really, like, have any meaning, right? That like, you'd become apathetic if everything was given to you at your, you know, whim, you know? You can't build a perfect society because man needs a goal to live and wake up every day, you know? You ever hear those stories about people that retire and die the next day and shit?
Yeah.
Because once you have no more goals, once everything's perfect, you're like, well, fuck this. There's no sense in living.
That and, I mean, the immortality, it's like you're just going to do the same thing every day forever. And
plus, they got rid of fucking because you only breathe through the tabernacle and in the, like, whatever, like, genetic pools.
It seemed like there's a fixed number of them, so there are, like, no new people ever coming in.
It's all them, and
they're maintaining a level of harmony, which is basically like, as long as nobody rocks the boat, and if you do, they punish you by aging you a couple of years because everybody in the vortex is psychic and has telekinetic powers.
Yeah,
I mean, this is
that's probably like a thing about, like, I mean, even though this movie didn't say anything about it, that's probably like a reflection on like a worshipping beauty or something like that, aging you.
Yeah, right.
To be
young
and beautiful.
But if that's,
I wonder, like, what age they take them out. Because if they just breed them naturally and they're immortal anyway, that means they have to grow them to a certain age and then decide to let them out. Like, what age do you decide, like, 18
or
something?
In their 20s
like
or whatever. So they're all 20-somethings, I would think.
Yeah. So they are, I mean, there are going to be more of them, right? Because we saw the babies.
No, because they quit. No. That was only in the, like, a backflash of, like, the first generation born in the vortex when they decided, like, they need to wipe the minds of everybody in the vortex so they can't, like, reverse it. And, like,
I thought that was cool. So the technology that they created to keep them alive forever, they unanimously voted to erase that from their memories so that they would never, should they change their mind, I guess, they would never destroy it. And never then, so they become a death-obsessed culture because they can't achieve death. So they're like, we're just bored. There's nothing going on here. We're just bored. We do nothing. They're not entirely like, you know, there's the Eternals. Then there's the apathetics who have, like, this is a disease that's plaguing all vortexes. People just don't care about anything and just stand around. And then there's the renegades who are, they've all been punished for some kind of infraction by being aged to senility, and then they all live in an old folks' home in the middle of the glen.
You know what's weird? That's why, as like, okay, as a, I would call myself a, like, a conspiracy movie watcher. When I watch movies about dystopian futures, you know, I'm always thinking about what's the angle this guy's coming from, right? Because the only reason you write a 1984 or Death Race 2000 is because you're fucking saying something about society or the way social engineering is going to go or blah, 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 right? Now, this is why I think this movie's, like, a little insincere, and it's like boo on the high class and the making of the vortex, and we're the mutant, blah, blah. It's because in the end of it, it does become kind of like a death-worshipping, like, you know, like, we crave death, we crave death, like, we want death, you know? Like, if you remember, like, Logan's Run, that was the bad part of the society, is they went to carousel and, like, like, renew. Once you get to a certain age, you want to die, you know, because that is how you teach generations to, like, get away from, like, we don't need fucking useless people that we need to take care of and help themselves. So we convince people psychologically to only worship youth and want to die. So that's why this movie got me a little weird, because I'm buying into all this shit. Like, yeah, man, the fuck the perfect society. It's all about the nature and what nature breeds and blah. But then it does get into the whole, like, death. Yes. Kill us. Please.
My reading on that, I don't know if it checks out, but my reading is on that is that they, because it's stated, you know, by the guy who created the vortex, that, you know, we have gone against nature. We've tampered with nature and our genetics, you know, basically to prolong our life. So we're unnatural. To restore the balance again, we have to die because we've already exceeded our expiration.
For sure.
So that's kind
of... It's the same way as in Man of Steel, how Jor-El was like, our society is ruined based off of the way we naturally already think, so we can't live on. We have to kill our way of thinking totally, so it doesn't poison the future generations. Gotta kill them off.
Right.
But still interesting. Like I said, these movies usually have... There's two ways these movies go. Pro-death or pro-life. And I was just like, fuck, man, this is getting pretty, like... Like I said, kill us. Hooray!
It's pro-life for everybody but the Eternals, I think. And unfortunately, their plan leaves the Brutals ultimately in charge, I believe, because the Brutals... Well, no. Zardoz has changed them, too.
Yeah, because Zardoz...
He doesn't want them to kill introducing... anymore. He wants them to be... take slaves and make, you know, of the people that they're killing, make them slaves and make them farm and, you know, cultivate the earth.
Well, like, the introducing a mindset is what it was, right? Introducing, like, frickin'... God, did this character even have a name? Jesus.
Zed.
Brutal? Zed, that's Zed, right, Zed. Yeah. Fuck. Just introducing Zed.
They just said it, like, all the time.
I know, right? Zed. I guess Zardoz Zed. Is a better name. So
Zed, I believe, is when in England, in... They always say it's zero.
No, Zed. No, that's just how you say Z. You say Zed. You don't say... That's why, like, if you watch Shaun of the Dead, he says, are there any zombies out there? He says, don't say that, the Zed word.
Yeah, but I've also heard, like, and again, this is maybe something from a while ago, so maybe it doesn't check out, but it was like, you know, you'd go Zed through, you know, 10 or whatever like that. It was...
Yeah.
It was the... Well, I don't know.
Zero?
I mean, yeah, but maybe. We'd have to check that one out. Probably shouldn't have brought that.
I think it's just because there's no way you say... There's no way to pronounce... You know, you don't say, like... There's no way to pronounce Z, I guess. You can't say, like, k-k, you know, you just say Z.
I'm just throwing it out there. You
could
say Z.
The Z word. They say Z. I don't know, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So, is that... Because I want... So, shit.
Well, into this thinking? Maelstrom of crazy tension.
Well, I want to talk about... I'm sorry.
Well, I was just like, our inroad to this is... So this is like the universe that's being built up. And there's more to it that we'll get into, I'm sure. But into this, we have Zed, who stows aboard the big giant floating head, kills Zardoz by mistake, kills his god, because he sees this guy on this floating head with all these... freeze-dried people.
By shooting him in the arm. Like, how...
He, like, sacrificed himself because he knew he was going to come back later. Yeah. It was one of those things, right?
I didn't think he was going to... Yeah, because he just kind of floats away.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
It was fucking very
almost
weird.
Almost kind of like the Wicked Witch in the movie called The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my God. I swear this
kind
movie.
Of, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about, like, let's not beat around the bush like this fucking movie did. Yeah. Let's talk about how, like, so Zed... I mean, this is why I think this movie would have been good if they would have played it out in a chronological order instead of being all stupid and tricksy because they just made an unbearable movie. Unbearable.
Okay, well, wait. Before we stop beating around the bush, the thing that I like about it is it maintained an aura of, well, I mean, I was going to say mystery, but it's almost like you're confounded because you're confronted by all of this imagery and you're like, what in the... It's so far removed from reality that you know it. I mean, it is like somebody made this movie on acid or on something.
But not far enough removed from reality.
Where you're sitting there going, what is going on? What is going on? But it intrigues you. It gets you like, I mean, it's not boring at all. You're actively engaged in trying to sort out, like, what the fuck? And it's like, at some point, this movie has to start telling me something.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what the hell's going on?
If Colin wouldn't have, like, chosen this movie for the Freak Show, I would have shut this off in the first 15 minutes because it's so, like, doesn't want to tell you anything. They think you're in on it. They think their special effects and their shit looks so good that you can look at it and be like, oh, of course, that thing's suspended in animation for this reason and that reason. They fucking tell you nothing. It took me a few minutes to be like, oh, that's like a Genesis chamber. That's where they're growing their people. And it wasn't until they showed the little baby in the plastic bubble. Like, until then, you're just looking at these plastic windows with naked people, like, laying on the plastic windows. And you're like, what the fuck design choice is that?
But they explain it like
in that scene. They don't explain it.
Brent, we need to hear from you.
Yeah, you need to, like,
tell us about Zardoz.
You gotta, come on, you gotta help me out here, dude. You saw that movie. Colin's seen it twice. That's why he's all like, I'm on the ball. We just watched this for the first time.
Travis, I'm sorry, but I disagree with you with the beginning of the film, because I think I agree that they don't tell you anything, but at the same time, like, you're with Zed on this journey, and he doesn't know anything either. So as he's discovering this utopia, this vortex, like, the audience is discovering it with him. You don't know anything before he knows it, basically. And even sometimes way after he knows
it. But he doesn't search the answers. He just walks from room to room, spinning around in a lot of times.
But wait, but
and it's like the guy's there's a reason for that. Protagonist, right? Yeah, but there's, he's a very in it. He just...
But there's a reason for that, right? Because, I mean, he comes in and he's, you know, he is already... He's already encountered... Zardoz has already given him this information. We don't know this yet. But so he's going into it. He's either forgotten it or he's just forgotten it for some reason.
I think, yeah, I think he goes in. He doesn't have a memory. Because Zardoz, he took it away from him when he...
When he went into the flying head, I guess. Yeah. Or when he went through the barrier to the vortex. I think just that crossing the barrier did it.
Did they say that? They may have. You've seen it twice.
But that's the impression that I got. So I'm thinking that they did, but maybe they didn't.
Because he doesn't even remember that the dude he shot is the one that, like, covered him in the shit that he was hiding in the head in.
He didn't, though. The
Zardoz, who, what's his real name?
Arthur Frame.
Helped Zed.
Zed hide in the head, and then as soon as Zed comes out of the head, comes out of his hiding in the head, he already doesn't fucking know who dude is.
Yeah. But he remembers who he is. He remembers
him. Before they even go through the fucking thing.
I'm guessing that he must be through the vortex. That's why they go through the vortex. Well, the only way I can explain this, though, is that they must have gone through it because he kills Zardoz or shoots him and he falls out of the thing. And then when he goes to the vortex house, he goes into that room where he's confronted. It's Zardoz's house, it turns out. And Zardoz is on the recordings, and he's like, oh, and he recognizes him, and he knows who he is.
That's right.
So he had to have at least recognized the face of the guy that he shot, even if he can't remember.
I think it's repressed, but it does come back, because with the help from the lady in the sheets later on.
Oh, my God, the sheets.
She helps him.
That was like the sci-fi like thing of this movie. It's like, put sheets over their heads. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. You walk into a room, and all of a sudden, you were in it a minute ago. He leaves, he comes back, and everybody's got just dressed, they're covered in sheets.
Everybody just standing there.
Well, that's what you do in the afternoon.
I suppose.
I mean, that's your afternoon entertainment. Well, they don't sleep.
Did we explain that their way of life here is to make bread?
Green bread.
Green bread is it.
And it's for the... Green bread
is recycling.
It's for the apathetics. The people that don't want to eat, right?
Yeah. Don't they all eat it,
though? I think so.
Well, they all eat it, but... They make the bread for the immortal people that have, like, gotten uninterested. Like, I'm not making
and
bread.
And the geriatric.
And the renegades,
Which sucks, because they're like, well, fuck it. Let them don't eat. Well, I mean, are they still going to, like, if they're immortal, why don't they still just live on?
Somebody would have to feed the apathetic center.
Well, I think they would die, and then they would have to be restructured by the tabernacle.
Right, yeah.
But just talking about this makes it sound like we're insane.
I know. That's what I love about it. You're like, this is an original idea. I think in some ways it's like it's put together in a way that you're like, I don't know what I can compare this fucking movie to because it is just
every
bizarre.
Dystopic future I've ever seen. Like, I've seen this so many times.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's
some
of this Metropolis
stuff,
is this. It is. Oh, yeah. But if you told somebody, he's just one of the guys from the fucking Clockwork Factory.
Dude, if I told somebody, like Metropolis, you'll like Zardoz. And one of them, Sean Connery, runs around in her wedding dress. And, you know, like Brett says, it's like, at this point, I didn't not expect that to happen. It's like, what the fuck is going
on? That's what I'm saying. This misses, like, sci-fi on every beat, man. Such a fucking, like, Woody Allen made a better sci-fi movie than this. Sleeper looks more like a sci-fi movie than this.
Well, you're talking about the look of it.
Because sci-fi movie, you tell me it's the year 2293, you tell me it's
post-apocalyptic.
The future. I'm expecting some futuristic shit, not just like, it's in a plastic bubble. It's painted blue. He's in red diapers.
They had
it's the future.
It was the concepts on the concepts, the ideas, right? Of this, they were manipulating the genetic code. 1974. I don't know how far along that research was, but that seemed kind of.
Hitler?
The Scopes monkey trial.
Eugenics have been around forever. Darwin was genetics.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, but it's still 20th century. I don't know, whatever.
It's still a
modern kind of sci-fi concept. The whole idea of, like, crystals being able to store, you know, that would be like a future, like, computer or whatever. The crystal can store, like, 1,000 points or more of focused light.
That had to have been something in the mines because Superman used the same thing. That had to have been, like, just in the air at that time. At the time. Laser light technology.
Did we say this was shot by the guy who shot Superman?
No, we didn't. Jeffrey fucking Unsworth, the man that shot every beautiful frame of Superman, couldn't even had nothing to work with in this movie. He's like, I guess I can shoot the blue building.
I think this movie looks good.
There we go.
No way.
No, I think it looks...
He's being very kind.
It's low tech.
Colin's feelings.
I mean, I'm not talking the set design, but the lighting. I think what he had to work with, he did a great job of making it look nice. I mean, everything's in... The lights are on.
The lights are on. There you go.
But, I mean...
That's on the poster, too.
When we made this movie, we had power. It doesn't actually look like it. Whole thing functions without, like, electricity.
There is one shot I did notice that was impressive. I think the camera was on tracks, but they go through this whole field. It's towards the end of the film when they're looking for Zed. And it starts at, like, one end of the, like, basically the backyard of this mansion or palace thing that they took over, right? And it starts at one end of the yard, and there's all this shit going on, and then the camera starts to track with the characters, and it doesn't cut. It's only, like, a minute, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a ton of stuff going around.
That's where he's revealed to be wearing the dress.
Right, at the end of that scene, that's where they do it.
I mean, the only thing
into it thinking I'm going to see Sean Connery in a fucking wedding dress and a veil, but...
The only thing I like about this movie is the concept of the idea of introducing the wild man into a, like, kind of a cut off high intellectual society. You start to, like,
starting an uprising.
Just research the animal instinct that they tried suppressing through their technology and through their. Because when they're chasing him. They regain their sexual urges back because they're like, you know, the hunt, chasing something like gave us a thrill that we never experienced before. So, you know, in the movie, earlier in the movie, they're trying to figure out why men's erections don't work anymore because they've obviously cut that out of society. And they can't figure it out. So in the movie, when they chase him and they want to fucking basically kill him, they're like, holy shit, Zed, we wanted to kill you. Now we just want to fuck. Like, this is amazing.
Well, he reawakens.
Some kind of animal urges.
Even in the apathetics, like, I think like the scene he goes nuts basically out of frustration, is toppling carts and stuff. Like, you see the apathetic woman who, you know, he was trying to get with, like, sit up and like come out of it. And then when he goes back into the apathetics chamber later, they're all, like, clamoring around him. Like, he's, like, this shiny new toy. Like, what? There's something, you know. So there's something coming out of it. And then, it's really weird. Does she kiss him or does she, like, take, she gets some of his sweat, like, on her fingertip.
Yeah.
And then she licks it.
To fucking lick the sweat.
And then somebody kisses her. And then they all start kissing each other and they're, like, transmitting the disease of Zed. It's like this has infiltrated now their society. And then after that, I think is when they're all like, you know, it brings.
They're just fucking out in the yard. They're fucking. That's the shot. Yeah. They're just going to town. Like, yeah. And they said that they killed some people, too. Everything was.
Yeah, because once he destroys the tabernacle, then they're mortal again. But Zed comes in, what we were talking about, like, you know, the setup to this movie, right? It's like, so there's a lot of story and world building, but it brings you into it from the confused point of the guy who's entering into this, so Sean Connery's character, and it reveals stuff to him over a period of time, which I think
the
like
the whole movie is revealing stuff to him. It really
well, and then they take him in. I mean, so basically the thing becomes like the Eternals who have never seen a Brutal in like 200 years, you know, or something like that. They haven't, and so they're like, we need to test him and study him. So the thing becomes like, let's integrate him kind of into our culture, and we're going to see how he reacts to a bunch of this stuff. And we're going to, you know, and they can also read his mind. They're trying to figure out the mystery of what happened to Arthur Frayne, and Zed must have something to do with it.
Yeah.
And so you've got a group of people on one side that want to keep him alive, and the lovely Charlotte Rampling from back in the, so this is like the Vanishing Point days.
Yeah, she's very attractive.
She's very attractive.
She is.
I mean, she's still, well, I don't know. She's still attractive now. I'm remembering Swimming Pool, but that was like 10 years ago. On Dexter, she was like.
She was attractive.
She's got those eyes.
On Dexter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's got, there's something about her eyes.
I like the oldies.
I was like, they look like that. We're talking like 70s, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's like in her 70s, dude. And so.
They're people too.
Different
that's fine.
I get
that's
you. Fine. Yeah.
The fuck are you guys?
There's no judgment here. No judgment on the freak show.
Yeah. But she was very lovely back in this time. She's leading the charge to kill it. Kill the, well, she doesn't say ape. What does she say? The beast.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This movie is Planet of the Apes, right? This is. They want to study him. That's what this movie.
That's too simplistic, though. It's not.
I'm sorry.
Saying it was the Matrix.
That's what this movie was missing to me, though. Like when Charlton Heston like breaks out, and there's the whole like, you know how there's that whole big city-wide like chase, and then he's like, "Get your stinking paws off me!" That's what this movie was missing, because he is supposed to be this invader, but not once does he ever do anything aggressive. Or he just doesn't. Like, that's what kills me about this guy. It's like, damn, he's supposed to be this cool, aggressive guy.
Well, I think...
But he doesn't ever have an action moment. Because, I mean, it's kind of a complacent society anyway.
When he gets there, you know, his mind has been erased. So he doesn't really know who he is. And then... As he discovers that what he remembers is he remembers.
That's my problem with this
intellectual stuff.
That's my problem with this movie. If he doesn't remember anything, what the fuck is he searching for? I'm sorry, man. This movie like doesn't hold weight. What's he searching for? If he forgets everything by the time he's in the big floating head, why does he even know he needs to search for something in the fucking vortex?
Yeah, but the psychic people are always trying to plumb his mind, basically.
And they're reawakening.
Plumb? Is that right? What am I? Plunder?
Through? I don't know. Plunder? No,
probe?
Probe. Thank probe. You. I don't know
they're
if that was it, but that's better.
That works.
We're going to make up our own definitions.
They're trying to probe his mind to try and figure out, you know, like, where he comes from.
Who are this. You?
And so it's
how does
through
your
that
penis
process.
Get hard?
That's an awesome scene.
Yeah. It was a good scene. I got
was it awesome? I don't know, but it's amusing. Because Sean Connery plays the whole thing, as I was saying earlier, like he does when he's in James Bond.
Set it up, because it's a good scene.
Well, he just looks like eternally bemused, I guess, as an actor. But yeah, they don't understand how...
the penis gets erect.
Yeah, they don't understand sexuality.
They don't understand excitement.
Yeah,
they can't get excited because they live the same.
They're like, this is just
kind of
we haven't had to, you know,
they have no chaos.
200
That's
years.
Where I think they need
he's
killing.
The agent of chaos. He's death. They say that at one
death.
Point.
He's death. Chaos is life.
But because they don't understand it, they're like, we know, and they illustrate this. It's like we don't know how the penis goes from limp to erect, and so they start showing him like softcore pornography.
Yeah, like soapy breasts.
Yeah.
Soaping breasts.
There's a lot of boobs in this movie.
There are.
But they're all like A to like low
not,
B.
Not the soapy boobs.
I was not complaining.
I think the soapy boobs were
true. Soapy
they were
boobs.
Bigger. And then like some sort of like KY jelly.
It was mud wrestling.
Mud wrestling.
Yeah. Naked mud wrestling.
Yeah.
But the thing that actually gets him, is looking at Charlotte.
That
Rambling.
Was a good scene.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, you know, like looks down, looks up at her, and it's like that
what
swagger,
can I
like,
say? You do it for me.
She's horrified by this, of course, but that is the
he's
moment
a beast.
I think
this
that starts her like on the,
no,
the
not,
road
not
to.
Yet. She was like against him the whole time.
Yeah, I know, but she.
But there's
it's not until she
there's...
hunts. She's one of the people that like hunting. You made me wet.
She actually says that hunting. You made me.
Yeah. Wet. I mean, I like the concept of this movie. I just hate the execution of it. Ideas in this movie, like I like the opening of this movie, is basically like there's like a little trial that plays out in the first like 15-20 minutes of being in the vortex of this guy that had bad vibes. just the dude that was thinking negatively. And it's like, this is where I'm like, fuck yeah, man. This movie's on it with the dystopian world shit, man.
Yeah.
Just your bad thoughts. People are like, fuck you. Because that's actually something... that's actually something Hitler did against the Jews, is saying, like, any sort of, like, negative painting, like, and that's, like, something as an artist, if you're, like, you know how Van Gogh had his blue period, or, that, no, that was Picasso had a blue period. I think everybody has a blue period. Yeah. Anyway, Smurfs especially. Smurf. Yeah. So Hitler thought, like, getting rid of this depressing art, like, depressing art is a reflection of a diseased mind. So that's part of eugenics, is a bad thought is part of a diseased mind. So that's why even nowadays, like, Google would want to know, like, who's thinking negative, or Facebook, right? Who's thinking negatively about things?
Yeah, but
things?
In this case,
thinking, you know,
unless I've got it
because
wrong.
Bad it's, vibe. It's like a way of being a future police, right? You can stop actually, a future crime if, like, Colin's thinking.
Yeah, but this guy, like, was actually doing something, because there's psychic or telekinetics. He was attacking other people. And they were like,
was he?
Yeah, because that was why it wasn't just the negative thoughts. He's saying, I thought that, you know, I didn't think those thoughts. The thoughts themselves were projectiles.
But dude, it's a fucking, it's symbolism, dude. That's why it's a sci-fi movie. It's using your bad thoughts will eventually commit a crime. So if we snuff your bad thoughts out now, you won't commit that crime. You won't have the possibility of committing that crime. That's what it's saying. Future crime, but thought crime, like Minority Report and shit.
I didn't get that out of this.
They weren't snuffing it out, though, because they said the renegades were vicious and they were aggressive, right? Well, so everybody votes on your crime, whether or not you're guilty.
But all you do is age, because you're immortal anyway.
They're not wiping the thoughts out.
They're still...
It's a penalty.
They're just punishing or whatever the fuck. I'm just saying, that's the thing I like about the movie. It had the whole, like, your negative thought, crimes.
I know.
I'm a big fan of thought crimes type of thing.
The way
thought
I took it was crimes. Less that it was, you know, trying to, you know, eradicate this thought, you know, so we get... It was more like... Here was a person who was, you know, an anomaly in the group. He was the one who had, like, some semblance of individuality in this collective. Yeah. And because of that, you know, he's mischievous, and so he's trying to fuck with people, and then they're like...
Yeah, because he went go to level singing. 2. Yeah.
Or, the other guy, though, with the blue headdress.
Oh.
The singing and the talking in tongues or what? Oh, you have to see this movie, folks. I mean, we cannot describe it and do it justice.
No.
But because of that, they were, you know, it was because he was an individual and different from them. He disagreed with the collective thought. That's why they were all coming down on him, and he had to go to trial or, you know, whatever they had to vote on.
Yeah, think like we think.
If you don't, then you're going to get punished, and you're going to lose 5.
You guys are talking about when they're around the table now.
Well, kind of the same thing. I'm talking about the guy with the blue. I can't remember what the fuck. I don't ever know if they mentioned his name.
No, you're talking about when they're around the table going, oh, wiggling their fingers at him.
Yeah, but they're both basically the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing. No way.
Yeah, because that guy.
No, because that guy was just, like I said, that guy had a.
That's why the guy at the table said, I vote for him. I vote for full acquittal, because he agrees with him. He's like, yes, they're your thoughts own them.
Yeah,
this is the way you think, and you're different than the rest of the collective.
Yeah, I get that. But it's still, to me, it's still that idea that you having different thoughts is what's going to fucking, like, you know, I'm sure we're just saying the same.
It is. I think you guys are saying the same thing, basically.
I'm just talking about the filmmaker story aspect of it. You're talking about the actual film, like, the actual, like, in the story, I'm talking about, like, when you're writing a dystopic future, like, type scenario, using thought crimes as a symbol for weeding out any thought that would be seen. And that's why they want to kill the brutal, right? They want to kill him because they know he's introducing his aura. You know, that's why this movie's all about thoughts and auras.
Oh,
like, get behind my aura. Stay behind my aura.
Stay within my aura.
Stay behind my aura.
My penis is hard. We'll get you. Behind my aura.
I don't
even
know if we could describe these scenes to do them justice.
Dude,
these lines
fucking
are
ridiculous.
In this movie.
I want to talk about when he phases into other dimensions, where these people had no idea on, like, How do we show this guy, like, get sucked into a smaller dimension with inside the crystal? Oh, he just kind of, like, waves his arms up and kind of, like, slowly slides at an angle? Yeah, that will work. Fucking ridiculous, dude. Like, I've seen, like, Twilight Zones that handle concepts like that in a better directing, like, sense.
Maybe.
That's why I'm like, holy fuck, man. This is what happens when you give, like, okay, because Deliverance was, like, Ned Beatty and like Burt Reynolds in the forest, right? Then you throw a bunch of money at this guy and he's like,
this is what I've always wanted to do.
Waves his hands up and like, it's almost one of those things where you give someone so much money that they don't know what to do with it, so they waste it.
Abstract science fiction concepts.
But they should have been dealing with like actual like editing and photography tricks to better explain what they're doing, and this guy doesn't have that ability to be like he gets sucked into a mirror universe, which is the crystal,
which is
the tabernacle.
It's actually impressive, the mirrors, just for photographing that. I mean, that's...
But it was like one angle, and he's like literally just turning around. It's like Sean Connery is acting as if they would be doing close ups and cutting at a bunch of different angles, and he's just spinning around in a dark room with a bunch of fucking mirrors.
Yeah, Sean Connery is in a much bigger budget, better movie. I think.
Oh maybe. No, the crystal!
Well, you wonder like, how so optimistic. The fuck, he got into this. I looked it up.
He
and
had
it said,
him signed for three pictures, and they're like, just do.
He wanted to get out of James Bond.
The shark. You know,
because he hated the Broccolis or the Cubby Broccoli and his wife or whatever, the producing people on James Bond. So he left James Bond. They did Honor Majesty's Secret Service with George Lazenby. And then they dumped a bunch of money in front of him and said, Sean, you got to come back. And he did Diamonds Are Forever in 1972. And then he said, I am never playing James Bond again. At least not for the Broccolis, because he did Never Say Never Again in 1985. But beside the point. So in 1972, he quit James Bond. And then it turns out, because you're typecast at that point, you are James Bond. He couldn't get any work doing anything. And he thought that this was like, you know.
Star Wars. Everybody was doing the new Star Wars, right?
They haven't had that yet. There are no movies that come out day and date across. Jaws was the first one, or The Omen was
Well, they're still Planet of the Apes. You said they're still Planet of the Apes was a huge fucking sci-fi franchise at this point.
Yeah, but movies were more artistic back in the day, so it was like, I'm getting behind it. I think they still said, there was an interview I read where, he still said that was still one of his favorite movies that he's
Holy
in Zardoz,
fuck.
Because of the concepts. Now
it was high concept.
I'm saying that I agree with Travis that it doesn't hold up it reads a lot as high camp. There's a lot of it where it's just like fucking ridiculous,
it's just
retarded
bad design.
But hilarious. I think unintentionally they didn't mean it to be funny, but they were working with whatever they thought was the best that they had at the time. I read a review that, Roger Ebert wrote where he was praising the visual effects. They're like, looks like they spent a bunch of money on the visual effects and they're impressive and they're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, it fucking must read different in 1974. Because it's like,
dude, look at Clash of the Titans. That was fucking 1980 and it looks like a movie from the 60s. Where look at this. Yeah, maybe 74 may look like fuck, but it looks like it's ahead of Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, they don't have like a woman's face like on a statue talking to Kalibak. They don't, but still, like, okay, as much as I'm going to shit all over this movie, deservedly so, but I will say that Clash of the Titans was released in 80, probably shot like from 78 through whatever the fuck, probably whatever. I would still say this movie's effects do look kind of more so like. Yeah, I don't know, because a lot of the movie's effects are like...
You're making my case work.
I was making your case, and now I'm starting to like go back on it. Like, really?
This movie is so...
I'm saying
so
it doesn't look like a movie from the
60s. Like, making a good point about this film sometimes. But, like...
It's such a bad movie. It's such a bad design. Like, I can barely laugh at
it. The best thing about it is, the use of the projection... The projectors.
Yeah, projection pictures.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. That shit was trippy.
Like, well, they would project it on people.
Oh, like the old paintings?
Yeah.
That was fucking tits.
And like,
the eyes of the paintings.
That's when they were like,
yeah.
That's when they were fine. Okay, we need to get past this because we still haven't talked about this before we do our fucking wraps ups by the end of this.
Right.
But so you get to know that fucking Zed, like, okay, he was a stupid, brutal guy, a stupid
executioner
out there in the void or the Outlands killing people. And then he finds like a place full of books and there's a dude who's like luring it, or he sees a window with a face in it who turns out to be a
Zardoz,
who is Alfred, whoever his fucking name is.
Alfred.
Arthur Frank.
So Zardoz is the guy who's like, here's a book, shows the dude a book and teaches him how to read somehow.
Yeah.
And then like he's read all these books. And then somehow he puts together.
He finds the book. The book that contained the truth.
The truth of everything. And it made him so mad that he decided to, like, throw every book off the shelf over and over
everything
again.
Everything is a lie.
It's all a lie. How you figure this out, like, I swear to God, if I would have done this, people are like, you're a dumb conspiracy guy. This guy does it and opened the world to, you know, he changed the world by looking at the Wizard of Oz, putting his thumb on the W-I and the O-F and saying, Zardoz. What? Our God is false. Our God is a man that...
20 years from now, that's what you're going to remember about this movie. That's how fucking good it is. You're going to be like, that's the movie where the guy... Yeah, it's the Wizard of Oz. Because that's the whole thing. He became the man behind the curtain. He, like, you know, I mean, that's his... that's his whole...
Yeah, but the thing is, Zardoz led that to him. The wizard never led Dorothy to finding out he was a sham, right? That's why I don't know why Zardoz led him. Just so he could get him into the vortex to, like, fuck their minds?
No, he's explaining what he's done. He's built this entire society in the Outland.
But he built the scenario
where he's God. But in the vortex, they know him as
Alfred.
Arthur Frank. But in the world that Zed comes from, like, the Wizard of Oz.
So it's vice versa Oz, where in Kansas he would be a god.
Yeah.
And in Oz, he's another guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
And the people in the Vortex are cool with this because they're like, Arthur's fucking with the dumb shit. Creative, and we have to deal with this shit anyway. And
they had to harden their hearts. That was the most important thing I saw about this movie is they had to harden their hearts to do what they do. And, well, shit. They're trying to protect
their perfect society, which is against nature.
Go look up Bohemian Grove. That's all I got to say.
Oh, brother.
I know. Well, hardening your hearts. The cremation of care. Hardening the hearts. I'm telling you, don't. These people are making movies about stuff. Don't deny it. Don't deny it.
Oh, Borman? Borman's definitely making. See, that's the thing why I think you can't dismiss this movie 100%.
Oh, it's still shitty.
I think, you know, going into it, it's like, it is campy. I mean, is it a mess? I don't know. It's like it knows what it has an internal logic. I think that's like filtered through like a lot of acid or something that they were doing it.
Yeah, that set must have been awesome to be on because, I mean, just think about how much money they spent.
It looked like just like a farmhouse from a...
Well,
just a farmhouse in England.
It's just a bunch of people hanging out and...
Doing acid, right?
All day long.
Like, that's all they did, I'm sure.
And they're just like, you know, to be an actor in this movie, you just have to...
I think the movie would have been a little funner on it. Like, if Jack Nicholson would have had a hand in this, like, it could have been a little better.
But you can't dismiss it completely as, like, a campy, you know, like, it's like, it's completely campy because there are themes at work here that I think do resonate and do work.
But how many of those themes have you seen of sci-fi movies from the 70s? Every one of those, over and over. I mean, the whole
not like a whole lot that actually. Well, I mean, again, I don't know how.
Come on, dude, the birthing
like a cult thing. It's not like a mainstream.
Like I said, we just saw this in Man of Steel, the birthing of the perfect human in a society. I mean, this is what Krypton's whole thing was, right? I mean, this is just a sci-fi. I mean, I want to say since. Not,
yeah,
I'm sure it had it becomes.
Yeah, but they can do it all the time.
It's got to come
now. It was a thing in 1974.
Well, it was from 1984, right? The book. I mean, that's what this is. 84 is the whole, like, you know, the creation of the perfect society. I mean, this is the Aldous Huxley. So it's not like. I mean, yeah, I get it. I do like this is why this movie frustrates me. It's like, I love the themes of this movie. Yeah. I do. But.
But but it's campy as hell.
So many movies give you this theme that it's like, fuck, you don't need to watch this one. Because it's like, dude's in a red diaper.
Well, I'm not, see, but that's...
Red diaper!
I'm saying you can't dismiss it as like an artistic piece of work, although I want to because it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I think it fails.
Like, it's funny to watch it because... There's just so many things that happen, like arbitrary stuff. I mean, it's never boring. It's like moment to moment, shit just like changes on a dime, and you're like, what the fuck is happening now? Yeah. Why are these people talking like meep, morp, moop, okay, well, mama? And then they start like making these hand gestures that they're talking to each other, and you're like, that's just the most ridiculous thing.
I got that. It wasn't ridiculous. They're a more advanced society than us.
Yeah, but it's same hilarious thing with, how they
same
do
thing,
it.
The same thing we're talking... I always like to bring up the idea that once people plug in and be cyborgs, if you don't plug in, how you're not going to understand their speech, because they're going to be, like, Wi-Fi-ing messages back and forth, that their speech patterns, they're not going to need to use as many words. So if you're not plugged in and you're not a cyborg, it's going to sound like that. It's going to sound like... because they're on a different... They're messaging
but this is already happening. I mean, like, there's an example, I think, I can't remember. And walking down a hall, and I had like texted somebody, you know, from downstairs about something. We were having a conversation, and then somebody else joined me as we were walking down the hall. The guy I had been texting walks out of the room, and I said something to him, and he answered me back, and it's like, if you were the guy who just joined me, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Because, like, how... Was that telepathy?
Because you were answering something that he had texted.
You're just in the know of, or, you know.
So, like, somehow I had received a message from him that, like, if you're the third party there, it's like, how did it... You get it. The only reason, you know, you don't go crazy in today's world is because you know that everybody's got cell phones.
Right.
This is how the technology works. That's how it works. You're with it. But if you were, like, out of, you know, just... I plucked you out of a... You know, whatever. Rainforest? Is that racist? And dropped you in there, you would be like, I don't know what the hell is happening.
I texted someone the other day and they put TLDR. I'm like, the fuck does TLDR mean? He's like, too long, didn't read.
Too long, didn't read.
Yeah, right? It's like, too long, didn't read. So the whole purpose is you want me to text to you because you don't want to talk, but then the information I write down is too long, you don't want to read it? You put TLDR, and that's supposed to explain to me what the hell happened? I was like, TLDR?
Dude, yeah, I got one.
Like, what does that mean?
I got one. So I asked my mom a question about a TV show last night or the night prior to that. This morning, she texts me with a random answer. It was like, too much blood and sex. And I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, text her back. I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, oh, I'm answering your question from last night. It's like, that text, like, I think a text does it have to be within a thread? Like, there needs to be a context if it's past a certain amount of time, right?
Me and Colin were talking about, like, how somehow when I have conversation, like, when I talk to you, no matter what, I am restarting the conversation I had with you last week at every moment. Yeah. I remember every word I've said to everybody forever. So when I talk to you, I'm restarting everything we've ever said.
You're picking up like right where
I left off. And people, a lot of people don't do that. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you don't fucking remember? We were talking about this, but my
head was somewhere else.
But somehow I'm like that. I know where I'm at with everybody. It's like having a chapter stop. And then it's like, I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
And then I get back like, remember that?
You just hit play and the timeline keeps going.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. But so that was...
Wait, how did we get out of this? Was it about...
We were talking about this dystopian future of how
The hand signals.
The hand signals, like... Meep, nop, nop, nop.
The bleep, blarp, and bloop.
And I kind of like that, because I kind of like how...
And the waving...
Like in Clockwork Orange.
And all this, it's just...
You know, like in Clockwork Orange, they automatically, like, hey, you live in this world, here's the slang they use. They don't give you any sort of, like, clue in. They're just like, hey, right, Maloko, you know, Madami, or whatever.
You don't, get the cliff notes. It's like, you're just in, and you better figure it out.
Well, like, have you ever seen, there's a funny movie.
Clockwork Orange would have been out before this.
Really?
71, yeah.
Dystopian future about brainwashing children.
Oh, we're coming out of Vietnam, dude. They would have been in that frame of mind.
Thank you.
It's all going to be just...
My argument's always been that for Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. Everybody was very down on the human race at that point in time.
Yes. Yep. And somehow they took the.
Well, okay, real quick. Oh, yeah.
Before, that's a whole other conversation.
Before we get to wrap-ups,
another time, ladies and gentlemen.
I want to try and figure this out. Just stay with me on this. So Zardoz has Sean Connery. He manipulates him or he does whatever to get him on the ship, right? Mm-hmm. He hides him on the ship because his intentions are to get Zed, Sean Connery, to the Vortex.
We forgot to add in the fact that...
I don't want to lose this, but...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well,
I thought I was going
to
add to it.
It's Oh, okay, yeah, you can add.
Just the idea that the executioners, they were only designed to kill and not breed, and then Zardoz, or Zed knew, hey, this is fucked up, because now we're capturing for slavery and forcing agriculture. So now this isn't about just killing. That's what got him kind of like... this is a lie. We were taught only to kill and to, like, whatever. Now we have to, like, rebuild?
So do you think it's Zed's idea to get on the ship? On the head?
It space seemed head? That way. Well, manipulated by Zardoz, but, yeah, it's his idea.
But
I remember in the movie, his Brutals burying him.
Okay.
In the grain, just throwing him aboard the ship. But you were saying.
Well, I guess I'm trying to figure out what Zardoz's end game is.
Well, I think it was to introduce the brutality, because he is the one that's like, I let your ancestors breed in the wild to give the chaotic nature back to man, and then brought it into the Vortex so it could
pervert
what is seen as a... Because that's what I like about this movie, is the idea that even though, like, right fucking, like, today in the real world, there are eugenicists at work saying man can take evolution into our own hands and perfect and perfect and perfect and perfect. But what they don't fucking understand is the only reason we're awesome to the point we are now is because of chaos, man. Because we were able to kill off and fuck and blah, blah. There has been so little control of the human race that the mutations is what's created individual thought. And the more man will try to manipulate and whittle it down to what is a pure thought or what is a pure way of thinking.
Always be chaos.
No, they're trying to weed out chaos. Because the idea is to weed out chaos, right? To try to stop violence, to try blah, blah, blah. But that's creating a dull world. That's not a real world. Real world is... fucking kill to eat, eat to live, la la la. Well, chaos and order are the same thing.
I think Zardoz's endgame, I said, you know, that it was, you know, he wants to die, but that's not entirely true. Once he's dead, the idea that humanity will be liberated, I think, again, from the artificial control that they have placed on the Vortex. Because they've been running everything, right? His
The Outlands.
He's been running the Outlands under, you know, this pretense.
I like
this
how
has been happening. So, like, by destroying the control mechanism, you're going to have chaos.
And what does Zed say to him? He's like, "You're a society of anti-life," or something like that. He says something to him on that extent that, like, you're against nature, you're against life, you know, because nature is fucking chaos. Yeah. It's not controlled and measured.
It's only through chaos that you evolve.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can do it. And
for sure.
The tabernacle was stopping all that.
Yeah.
Wasn't allowing it. Yeah. And even if chaos did happen, it would just reset it and rebuild it. So it had to be destroyed.
Great fucking things to talk about in a movie. But they're just
that's just a theme, though. I'm saying, like, if this was a book, awesome, but it's not. It's a shitty movie.
It's another one of those movies where, and I don't know if I should start my wrap up because this is pretty much all it's going to be. It's one of those films where when we sit around here talking about it, and it is the ideas that are within the film, they make more sense when we talk about it than when I'm watching the movie.
Perfect for a filmmaker.
Yeah. So, I mean, does it hit? It misses the point. It misses the mark. I think I get the point, but I need help with it. You know, I mean,
the syllabus that comes with the
thing. Yeah. Yeah. As your layperson viewer of science fiction films, I am that. I'm definitely not as schooled as you guys are in science fiction films. But I mean, I understand the idea is just like going through it, you know, like when the Wizard of Oz shows up, then it's like my brain shoots off into this alternate present that I have to deal with while watching the film. I'm like, okay, so now this is a Wizard of Oz story, right? And like, then I try and start putting those pieces together and they don't quite fit. And then, so like, as I'm watching the film, I get more and more confused, I guess. And then by the end, I'm still hoping that there's going to be a payoff and they're going to, you know, explain everything. But by the end, there's not enough of like a wrapped up package. Like, here you go. This is what we were trying to say, you know. And a lot of times I don't like that when it's, you know, spoon fed to you. But I think this one is cerebral to the point where I'm just like, I'm not quick enough to pick up on all the ideas. Unless you have a conversation with your friends afterwards. So I think that it's entertaining.
That's what I was going to ask you. What's the entertainment factor?
It's, yeah. Like, I wasn't bored, right? So that's a big thing. I'm just struggling with if I were to tell somebody to go watch this movie, would I feel bad after I said that? I don't know.
Trick him?
Yeah. It's like,
should I lie?
What was it? Hour 45 or hour 40?
Hour 41.
Hour 41. And it feels like 2.5 maybe.
Oh, okay.
Three or four. Like a miniseries.
That's a big one. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if they could have wrapped it all up by the time they got to the whole Wizard of Oz, because that's like the holy shit moment in this film, right? Like, oh, it's this book, and this book is the Wizard of Oz, and this guy's been, you know, telling these people to do this, but he's just a man, and he's not, you know, a god, and there's like all that stuff
that
was.
The whole way, Emily.
That's what I'm saying. This movie, I mean, he doesn't says it. Do what it's supposed to do, because it, like, you know, this shit, like, it should have shown it from his perspective from the beginning instead of making him forget anyway.
But you don't know that. I mean, you know that there's a like a spaceship rock, but you don't know that that's Zardoz, do you?
What, the rock is Zardoz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you from like, the beginning?
Zardoz.
Oh, do they say Zardoz?
Zardoz has. It talks like the wizard.
But yeah, not. Well,
yeah, it is the wizard. I mean, he's the just wizard a big one. Head.
But you've seen it twice. So going in, you knew that this time around.
He
that
shows up and he's like, you know,
I am the great and powerful Oz.
I mean, it's something.
Yeah, I like. It didn't. Now it's going back, yeah, it's very, it's obvious, it's like, and hopefully God, that the listeners have seen this movie because, oh no, maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll help going out.
Maybe you don't need to now.
Don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know.
If they watched the movie, they were not listening to this.
I would.
I already watched it. I don't fucking hear people talk about it.
There are fans out there, I think. That are
no, come on, oh, yeah, you.
Yeah, it's a cult thing. It just came out on Blu-ray like 2 weeks ago.
I don't believe it.
Twilight time.
It's
limited to how many?
Limited.
Wow.
3,000?
I don't know.
I think
for collectors.
I think Twilight only does 3,000 copies, I think.
For collectors.
I would say if you really like science fiction films and like you're into the whole eugenics dystopian futuristic type movies, go check this out. I mean, if you're in that wheelhouse, it's worth a watch. If you're not, I would stay away from it. If you're an action guy or a comedy guy, well, comedy, I mean, if you might be able to find this funny, but I would say for the most part, it's a selective few who are really going to get into this. So I'll recommend it to those types. So yeah, I guess that's a pass.
That was you won't recommend it?
I will.
I was like, but you're like, that's a pass.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's like a passing grade.
Oh, I got it.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Like,
oh, that's in the plus column.
It's that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, that's why I wanted him to redefine that. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean it's a pass? Yeah, you just said, like, hey, if that's up your.
That was.
Well, this isn't my. Like, I'm the guy you just described, and I'm like, like, I just can't buy this movie as, like, a futuristic, like, I mean, I'm sorry. You tell me, like, you're in the year 2293. Show me I'm in the year 2293. I don't care what it is. Be like, computer. You know, chicken and eggs. Show me fucking something. All this had was buildings painted blue, still pushed by horse cart. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of 20? Why even go into a valley and create
they've
a perfect?
Got their minds, it's mind technology.
And they don't even use that to the extent. Like they wouldn't even need to. They wouldn't even need to speak openly aloud if they had that ability.
They don't. They stalk people.
They do. Don't defend this movie during my my rap. I'm just saying, like, dude, like I should love this movie, and I fucking hate this. This movie was like there was nothing in this movie that was like. I mean, it's like I've seen every idea before because I'm like, all right, eugenics, utopia, I've seen it over and over again, and this movie didn't offer anything visually interesting. It didn't offer. I mean, it tried some things with like crazy projection things, and like, that worked kind of. But I think it really was just like, it's just like a anti, like, I don't know. There was no, they didn't like, they just didn't tell this story. Like, I think if you would have given us a chronological, this fucking dumb guy bred to kill people is taught this, learns it's a lie, decides to break into the Forbidden City, changes their culture. It's like, that would have been more interesting than this weird, like, you know, they're trying to have this mystery man, like, but it's really just a guy, like, with a gun, just, like, looking around. And it's like, what's he looking for? Is he going to talk to anybody about anything, about what he's looking for? No, I'm just looking for something. I'm in the head now. Someone's coming. Good, I got away. I mean, there was no action. He couldn't fight with anybody. There was like, fuck, nothing is going to happen in this movie. Until they're like, lay down on the table. We will search your memories. I'm laying down. Oh, boy. There's like five scenes where he has to lay down and they search his... Because he's like, fuck, guys. There's no story to this movie. Lay down and we'll search your fucking memories about the movie that happened last time that you didn't see. Like we need the prequel to this movie. And like I said, that's what sucks is like, I could remake this movie and make it interesting. You could remake... Zardoz needs a remake. Maybe without the Wizard of Oz shit. That was just too like, oh, Jesus.
Change the name, I suppose.
No, you can still make it Zardoz. They don't care. Just take the Wizard of Oz shit out of there. Especially him wearing ruby slippers when he goes into the fucking tabernacle, Christopher. He is wearing ruby slippers.
And there's a guy wearing a big plastic pig head.
Yeah, I do want to tell you about how, like oh, I do think it. That was a... that was done deliberately because this is a society that knows nothing about sex and they're curious about sex. So you're seeing all these weird sexual fetishes throughout the movie. You see the people in the headspace ship are in like vacuum sealed plastic.
I didn't read that as sexual. Well, that's except for the
I read that as sexual. Oh, okay. Just because I don't know, I've known of that sexual like thing. That's like a sexual fetish getting like in vacuum sealed plastic. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, right.
But why are they in the head? Why are they there?
It's just a floating head. Well, because in Wizard of Oz, that is what Oz was. He was the head. He was a fucking floating head. He was the big green head. I'm the great and powerful Oz. So that's what.
But Oz didn't have naked people vacuum sealed in it.
Well, maybe he did.
Well, but that was the fetish. Or like, that was their.
No, that wasn't the. They were.
It was.
Grains of rice.
I'm telling you, it was just as fetishy as, like, the same way Rocky Horror Picture Show is fetishy. This 74, they're into, let's just put our sexual fetishes on the screen. That's what we're doing here. For sure.
I was trying to look futuristic.
But... Oh, yeah.
And it's a free love hippie thing. That's why all the women are topless.
Yeah, free love hippie thing. It's the sexual perversion of the nation.
It's just weird because nobody has sex. It's just like, it's the beauty of it then.
Well, but they do have sex. They end up having sex.
Female.
But everything, because it's all like a sexual repression thing, right? It's all about sexual repression.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this movie sucks. I was into the concepts. Like I said, I was a little turned around by the, like, all of a sudden now we're switching to the pro-death thing, which is a little, like, anti, like, what you usually get out of the anti-eugenics dystopic future. But I get the whole purpose.
Yeah, but what's the point of view of our hero?
What's that?
What was the point of view of our hero? Yeah. He wasn't pro-death.
True.
Yeah, he wasn't pro-death. He changed his mind. I'm different now. Yep. You taught me your ways.
Well, he learned everything.
He learned everything.
Through touch.
Well, it was through osmosis.
It was, what was it? Touch? There. Telepathy? What was it? Fucking
there was,
osmosis?
It was.
Some kind of weird.
They thought around him.
Yeah.
Oh.
the whole.
They stopped time.
The way they set it up was, I think he was going to kill himself, and then instead they were like, no, wait, instead, have sex with all of our women.
So you can breed the mutation.
Breed them and then kill yourself.
And,
we'll give you all our info.
And they like...
Because we forgot about that. The ones that he slept with, like, got to ride away.
They got to ride away.
They survived the carnage.
They took the mutation eugenics with them.
That's when they were straight my aura.
Yes. Get behind my aura.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I like the concepts of this movie. I really do. But the movie itself, I'm like, meh. They failed on, like, every level. Like, they didn't have that, like, any sort of like cool photography to actually show you the weird like dimensional things that, you know, you should be able to. The fucking costume designs were just really like meh. Like they spent no money on costume. I don't know. I was just like, I thought nothing of the movie.
Well, I think I like this movie, but I can't tell if that's
I like that's on like, the poster.
Yeah, because I can't tell if it's a reaction to your like hating it that I'm sitting here like, well, I didn't hate it, so I have to defend it now and find myself in that position where like, well, then that means I must like it. Yeah, I found this movie and I just thought it was the most bizarre, ridiculous thing. You know? Well, not the most bizarre. I've seen Star Crash. So this was one where you're like, I'm looking for the other Star Crash. One of these days we're going to have to do it on the podcast.
Oh, I guarantee I got a Star Crash in there.
Yeah. So this was, you know, I mean, I'm watching it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is kind of like along the same lines. It's like this is a movie that when it was made, they thought they were making like a bold artistic statement. And now you read it as like complete camp. You can't take it seriously. The, you know, the visual effects. The
I still think design, their statement like is very.
But I get to that. I'm just saying, like the way that you see it, you know, it's like this is fucking ridiculous. Sean Connery is in a diaper and a bandolier, and it just if you see the photograph on the web, folks, I mean, you'll know just right off of seeing it. This is one of the most.
I'm not this seeing. Is gonna this be something, is what you'll say.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, thought this was a good idea?
Did we mention the ponytail?
Yeah, and the big braided ponytail. So the whole movie's like that. It's like it's a fever dream concocted by somebody who was like
fever living dream. In That's a good way to describe
living in a hippie commune or something. I mean, it's like they're, you know, it feels like Borman, you know, had affinity with the hippies and the, you know, that kind of I was going to say that kind of society. And then I figured I have to define it, but whatever. I mean, just it's got a very trippy psychedelic. You know, this is how the future is going to go based on our plot that we're taking now, you know, the way we've plotted it now, and it's bad. And so I'm going to make a movie that shows, like, this is the way that, you know, we have to come out of this and, you know, agree that, you know, this is wrong. So there's, like, but he works in, like, a bunch of themes into it that I think actually do in some way work. So then you're sitting there going, like, I want to laugh 100% at this movie. I can laugh at Star Crash because there's no meat to it, right? But this one has the ridiculousness of Star Crash, but it actually does have, you know, there's some meat on the bones. And you sit there going, like,
dude, this movie is a plan. Like, I mean, me as a conspiracy, dude, this is the plan. The whole get the rich people, the smart people together and, like, bring about the human evolution to a more perfect. Hitler was going to do. I mean, no matter what, human beings will always try to take social engineering into our own. So no matter what, this is a possibility. So
this movie is anti that stance, though.
I think so.
Okay.
I think, like I said, I got a little confused with the whole like pro death message at the end.
The character, but everything the lead
about
character,
everything right. else about it was
so that's
like,
the that's the psychology of the filmmaker. So
I always worry about that though. That's something else for another conversation.
So you know, it's like I can't dismiss the movie, and then it's like, well, okay, well then, did it work as like a science fiction movie? It's like I sit there and go like, well, it's definitely unusual. It's lively. You know, it may not have physical action where there's lots of laser blasts and stunt work and stuff like that.
Yeah, I miss the laser
blasts. I know, but that could be because that's the way we look at movies now. I'm sitting there looking at it like it has some kind of action through the rhythm and editing where, like, you know, it seems like something new happens every couple of seconds. They're in a scene and then they turn and then boom. Something has changed. All of a sudden, there's a guy wearing a big fucking, you know, plastic head.
But he's always laying like, down and taking a nap. That's what makes you
so sleepy
about
this
movie.
Saw it. That's the way that he's you saw it. I saw a different movie than Travis saw. So that's why I'm defending it, because it wasn't boring to me. It wasn't, you know, it was a lively thing where I'm like, but it's ridiculous. So it's like, I can't recommend it to just anybody. I can't just say, like, dude, you got to see this movie, Zardoz. I would go into it with, like, dude, you got to see this movie Zardoz, you know, because that's the kind of recommendation, right? It's like I'm kind of bored. I've been seeing a lot of like, hey, you should check out this fucking movie Zardoz. You're bored? I'll show you something that'll fucking wake you up.
You can't recommend it with a straight face, is what you're saying.
I don't think so. I don't think you can say, like, as a serious cinema goer, I mean, you know, it has enough there that may, I'm sure that, you know, if you're a listener, one of the people who are like, Zardoz is a misunderstood classic of science fiction cinema, it's like, okay, I can see where you're coming from. I don't know if I'm completely in that camp, unfortunately, because there's so much working against it from the camp side of the movie, right? That it just doesn't hold up as a, you know, you can't watch it. And seriously, even though there's serious things at play. So it's kind of like a mixed, you know, thing. But it appealed to me because I was sitting there going, like, you know, and again, I think half of the reason that I'm coming off so strong in favor of it is because you come off so strong against it. Where it's like,
just because something sucks, I don't find it laughable. It sucks. That doesn't make it laughable.
Yeah, this movie does not suck, folks.
It sucks.
It doesn't suck. There is something there, whether it's your cup of tea or not. I mean, I guess you're gonna have to watch it and tell us on facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show, where we do this every week. Every week we do this, and next week we're gonna do Travis's movie. What are we gonna be watching, Travis? On the spot right now.
Class of Newcomb High. We're watching. We're gonna find out what's going on at Newcomb High.
And that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. Until then, the lights are going out. The basement is closed.
Catching heat.